and so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
Minnesota right now. Excerpts of that coming up. We just had the J6 cop, Michael Fanone, who said, well, you see your Second Amendment and start killing ICE people a week ago. Now he just flipped out at Ivan Ranklin and just made up stuff and went completely insane. That's coming up next segment. But right now we're taking your phone calls. Sean in New York. Thanks for holding it on the air. Go ahead.
General Jones, Captain Clown Carl Brody, for duty, sir. I would like to bring up the fact that the common denominator of most of these rioting leftists seems to be the vaccine. They've all been vaccinated and they have these aggressive impulses. I'm just wondering how you feel if you think that there's something to do with maybe Harper and the frequency or SSRIs that are making these people go into this aggressive reaction. Also, I wanted to bring up the weather situation that's going to happen. I brought it up in Thanksgiving. It was actually an episode of The Simpsons, and I kind of was watching everything with Three-Eye Atlas shooting a hole in the sun, and I kind of was piecing together, yeah, we're probably going to get crazy cold weather. But also, if we took over Venezuela, aren't we the narco-terrorists now? But doesn't Greenland military, isn't that America's military? Hasn't America always been the military for Greenland? And General Tedros, you know, one of the best things he ever said was, don't give the vaccine to children, it's killing them. But nobody brings that up anymore.
Yeah, he actually said we should give it not to children, it kills them, just give it to old people.
Right, right. What happened to Musha? How's she doing?
To?
Your cat, Musha.
Musha's doing great.
Oh, okay, that's fantastic. So now we're talking back to the aggressive rioters. Do you believe it's the vaccine and a frequency that can make them actually go all berserk?
Kind of like the Kingsman. There are studies out showing neurological disorders and aggression in people that have taken the spiritual shots. But I think in general, it's the spirit they have of evil. I mean, it's like they're demon possessed. That was a lot of topics, Sean. I appreciate your call. You're like, let's talk about this. This was all interesting. Let's go ahead and go to Adam in Oregon. Adam, go ahead.
Hey, that was interesting. Cobra Commander, good to talk to you again.
Cobra.
Hey, loving the camo. You look like you reminded me of Norman Schwarzkopf from Desert Storm.
Anyway, I was just being lazy. I was being lazy today. But go ahead, yeah.
I wanted to call and let you know. I don't know if you're aware. David Medina here in Oregon on Monday announced his candidacy for governor here in Oregon, and I believe you're aware of him. I think he may have used to work with you guys at one point, but I don't know if you're aware of that, but that's big for us here in Oregon, and I just wanted to give him a shout-out, and hopefully you could touch a bit, shout him out, promote him a little bit, and help us out here in Oregon.
That's great, absolutely. What about the Democrats? Though? Something you want to say about that?
Oh, just the standard. The governor here, we signed a petition because they tried to put a gas tax on us, and we signed, got 275,000 people to sign a petition, and now she's going to have the legislation pull that bill and then reintroduce it right before the vote, so that the petition that all of us residents here signed is null and void. And then you have, you know, the two Portland police officers shot the other night, and all the madness that's happening. Everywhere else in Democrat-run cities, we got it going on here.
Well, that's the thing is they just get, if it was a graph, this is kind of a guesstimation, but let's just say here's the year 2000. The left's kind of going like this, and it's just crazier, 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 crazier. This is, you know, 2025. I mean, it's just like, it's going straight up now. So how crazy is it going to get, brother?
It's going to get crazier before it gets better, I think.
Well, one thing for sure, stuff's not going to be boring. We'll be right back in 60 seconds. Stay with us. J&R straight ahead.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Best-selling author, top globalist expert, Jay Dyers, will take over here in a few minutes. Got some breaking news we're about to hit right now on this live Thursday, January 22nd, 2026 transmission at 2:06 Central Time. Wow, go F yourself, rape my children, you sick bastard. And we have the video. Ivan Raiklin, former Green Beret, lawyer, Defense Intelligence Agency, didn't say that. Go F yourself, rape my children, you sick bastard. Unhinged J6 TV star Michael Fanone screams at Ivan Raiklin during Jack Smith committee hearing. Democrats cheer as he exits hearing room with Capitol Police. Now, he said just a week and a half ago, he said, get your Second Amendment to take out ICE. That's a real insurrection. And so he's been heavily involved in this whole thing. And it reminds me of when some of the neocons were attacking Tucker Carlson. Mike Levin, he goes, he plays a clip of Tucker, nothing about Levin, nothing about his family. And he goes, you piece of crap, you just put down my, you just put down my stepson. You just said he deserves to die. I'm going to, if I see you in person, I'm going to beat the hell out of you. Said nothing about his family or anything. It's just mentally ill. Well, it's the same thing here. But this is the guy that got caught, you know, making all this stuff up. The little darling literally, like, sits in the lap of Nancy Pelosi. Here he is flipping on Ivan Raiklin, making up stuff that Ivan never said. Here it is.
Why are you so spasmodic? Why spasmodic? Absolutely. Look behind you. Do something. Why should I? I'm communicating with you. Trying to calm you down. Right? Look at
trust me, I'm using a lot of
shit. You see how many people are constraining you?
Come get me.
Look at me. Total control over my mind and body. Total control over my mind and body.
No, sir.
I'm not.
This guy has threatened my family, threatened my children, threatened to rape my children.
Oh,
rape
really?
My children, you sick bastard. Rape my children.
More people need to get
and I love how the Capitol cop acts like Ivan Raiklin did something. We talked to Ivan, we're hitting him on during the war room. He's never said anything about that dude's kids. That's what they do. They always just make something up so they can be the victim. Meanwhile, I mentioned this. I should have done more on it. I'll shoot a special report on it today. You can bet tomorrow cover it. Simulation, civil war could be triggered by exactly what ICE is doing now. And it's all the different leftist publications going, oh, look, in 2014 or 2024, in 2024, there was a drill with Penn State and the feds about, oh, if Trump gets in, he'll send out ICE and that'll cause a civil war. This is in the Podesta plan. It's in it all. This is what they've been planning. We ran high-level U.S. civil war simulations. Minnesota's exactly how they started, The Guardian. So now they're all saying, oh, the left war game, and that's how the civil war starts. No, that's how you say you start the civil war. So a big, big deal. I'm sorry to James and Jason, Doreen and Pat. If you want to give us your name and number, we'll call you back tomorrow. I'll take calls for the Friday show. You go to the head of the line. But I want to hand the baton to Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. with all the information he's got. We need to hear from him. And then in exactly 50 minutes from now, we're going to have Harris Smith host The War Room, 3 to 6 p.m. Remember, the dog don't hunt without you. You're the word of mouth. Share those feeds at Real Alex Jones on X and on Rumble, the Alex Jones channel, and the local station you're listening to. You change the world, so I salute you and thank you. Jay Dyer takes over now.
Thank you, Alex. On the fourth hour today, we're going to talk about another one of those key texts that admit pretty much everything, and it's the present global elite text that we're working through. It's called The Old Boys, and it's a history of the American oligarchical elite and the origins of the CIA and the OSS. And it's going to be very relevant for the World Economic Forum Davos, which is presently meeting. So we're going to tie it into that, how that came about. But this is not a conspiracy text. This is a book that was written by a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, kind of like Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, but it's kind of lesser known. So this book goes into where the OSS and the CIA came from, how they were set up by British intelligence, how during World War II, there were many situations where factions and members of the CIA, the Dulleses and others, were actually involved through their law firm, Sullivan and Cromwell, in aiding and abetting some of the tiny mustache man followers to help set that situation up. So this is a book that really vindicates and admits a lot of what is in Anthony Sutton's work. And this is, again, relevant because we're beginning to see a sort of false dialectic that's being created between the idea that Muslims and Christians should reunite together in some sort of right-wing movement. This always ends up being a giant fraudulent situation. This is being pushed constantly. But there's a clip I want to play before we do that from a couple of my friends, Jake Rattlesnake and Andrew Wilson. And in this clip, they're going to analyze something that happened recently by a funny admission from the global elites about the relationship between Judaism and Islam. And you're going to notice that it's exactly what I've been saying for all of these years. It's not the popular position. Many people are ignorant about both Islam and rabbinic Judaism and the attitudes that they have towards the West or towards Christianity, but they share a lot of commonalities. And in this clip, we're going to actually see the admission of this, and we're going to begin to learn why the fake right-wing controlled opposition types of movements, especially things like Con Inc. or even the fake far right, they really provide the justification for these people to say, aha, look, we have this massive explosion of neo-Nazis and anti-Semites and et cetera. And that becomes the justification for the next phase of crackdown. So if you want to go ahead and play this clip, and then I'll comment on it as we play it.
All right. Same sort of story, but now at the World Economic Forum, this was an interesting one. President of the Conference of European Rabbis, the rise of extreme right in many European countries is a response to the insecurity felt by the old Europeans, the so-called old Europeans, regarding the new immigrants. Fighting Islamophobia and anti-Semitism is in the interest of both religions. If this is bizarre, let me get your take on this.
In universities, on the streets, and a rise of 500%, maybe some instances to 1,000% of anti-Semitic acts. And there has also been a reaction of Europe. I think the rise of the extreme right in many European countries is a response to the insecurity felt by the old Europeans, so-called old Europeans, regarding the new immigrants who came from the Middle East. So I think that fighting Islamophobia and anti-Semitism is an interest of both religions and both communities. And when we do it together, it's going to be much more useful. We have created under also the Saudi umbrella more than 10 years ago, the Muslim Jewish Leadership Council, and which was successful. And we believe that we have to go this way if we want to make sure that every European can live in peace and walk in peace in the streets.
So, I mean, an alliance between Muslims and Jews against the old European, which means the traditional Europeans.
Well, I want you to end the dialectic in your head, right? Put on your debate brain, your reasoning brain, your logical brain. This guy's not actually lying. He's telling you the truth. There has been a rise of the far right in European nations. They're reactionaries to what's going on with policies which have been directed by their governments, which they disagree with. He's right that there is an increase in what would be considered anti-Semitism, and that's across the entirety of the world, not just in European nations, right? Like, all of this is correct, but the part where it's problematic is the reasoned response. So thing is there good cause for people to be upset? Well, apparently the left and many on the far right are in unison with the idea that Israel, with the backing of secular Jews around the world, is in the middle of the commission of a... that they're murdering wholesale an entire grouping of people for the purposes of political convenience and social coherence. That's what they think is happening.
So we can stop
there. So if that's the case, and then you have people who are in defense of that.
So right, you'll notice the point that we've been making for so many years here about this managed dialectic between the assumed union of the right wing and Islam, or the idea that Christians are together with Jews in a Judeo-Christian alliance against Islam. Really, all of that is nonsensical. The real battle here is a spiritual battle between truth and falsehood, between those who submit to Christ as the Messiah and those who don't. And the religions who do share some things in common with us, be they Muslims or be they Jews or whatever, even if it's a minuscule degree, some things in common really doesn't matter ultimately if, at the end of the day, those religions also profess that they have to get rid of you and get and destroy you, that they have to conquer you. So it doesn't really do any good from a sort of ecumenist, you know, watered down perspective of people in the West to say, oh, well, let's just focus on the what we have in common and why do we have to disagree, when it's already part of their dogma, both in the Talmud and in the Hadiths and in the Quran, that it's their job to eradicate your religion. And both of those religions believe in doing that at pretty much any cost. In other words, there's no real limitations. There's very minimal limitations on what can be done against you and your people group to destroy you or to conquer you. The difference is that they exploit the weakness that they or perceive weakness in mainline Western liberalized Christianity, which is this idea that you can universalize our ethic. We believe in a universalized ethic, that we shouldn't mistreat people, that we shouldn't have a dual ethical standard for other people outside of us, etc. But that's not the attitude of these groups. These groups come out of a tribal ethic, and this is, again, one thing that distinguishes Christianity from the other so-called monotheistic religions, is the idea that Christianity has transcended the tribal ethic. It doesn't necessarily mean that we transcended the idea of ethnos or people groups or even races per se. We can admit that as a reality that God created. There's different people groups. They don't have to all be turned into Babel. That's the New World Order type of plan. But what we don't want to admit is this idea that we're still in a tribal ethic where I and my people group can do anything we want to people outside the people group to screw them over so that we protect our people group. And ultimately what that leads to is a inbred ethic where you inbreed with your own people group. We see that in Ashkenazi Judaism. We see that in things like Somalia, where Islamic people groups operate this way. It's very well known now. And this produces, mental illness. It produces low IQ. It produces all these problems. But that's the kind of norm for religions or people groups that don't have a universal ethic, that have a very tribal-based ethic. And it really produces a kind of psychopathy that justifies then the eradication of anyone else by any means, because it's seen in this very, sort of primeval survival attitude. And I don't think the answer is for white people to then become Odinist and neo-pagans. Most of that stuff also ends up being some kind of weird, fed, controlled thing, controlled opposition. So the only answer here, the only solution to this is to return to a universal Christian ethic, something that's taught by, for example, Orthodox Christianity. We just had a recent statement by the Patriarch and other bishops in the Middle East of the Orthodox Church condemning Christian Zionism as a disastrous heresy that destroys the fabric of Christianity in the West. And we saw Ted Cruz condemning that statement and then coming out and reaffirming the idea that the church isn't the fulfillment of the Old Testament nation state of Israel. Israel is really still the fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament. So we have a Judaizing removal of the fulfillment of Christ and a return to a kind of retrograde view that ends up being a disaster for the people in the West. It ends up being a engineered political technology to make everybody submit to whatever Israel wants. And then we have a false dialectic of, Well, if you don't support that, you are a Muslim. You must be a Muslim. You must be a supporter of Islam. No, I can oppose both of those things and support the idea of an Orthodox Christian ethic. And really, you know, it's Orthodox Christianity that will be the big loser in all of this because they have a huge chunk of the land in Palestine, in the Middle East, in Israel. So really, when all this, you know, goes down, whatever goes down, probably the Orthodox Church will be the most damaged in terms of what's going on there in the Middle East. But I don't have to support mullahs. I don't have to support Sunni versus Shia or any of that. I can recognize the reality of those situations and try to promote something like a Christian. What about a Christian government? You know, in the Middle Ages, we had a Christian government there. So maybe we should work to convert people to Christianity, to Orthodox Christianity. Maybe that'd be a good approach to fixing and solving the problems in the Middle East, because as long as we're stuck in this sort of Old Testament tribal mindset of this tribe versus that tribe and eternal vendettas, nothing will ever progress. You don't get a civilization, you don't get a culture that flourishes when you're in a tribal warfare mindset. Everything will return to something more primitive, something more primal. Perhaps that's what the global elite want, because if you factionalize everything and turn it into one of these tribal situations, you can then deindustrialize and you can have everybody at their throats and then bring in the austerity model of what the World Economic Forum, of what Davos, of what the internationalists want. They want this type of a fractured, factionalized, destructive warfare situation going on, chaos, to then reorganize everything like a phoenix from the ashes into a technocratic socialist order. We've begun to see the return of censorship. Censorship terms are beginning to come back. We're beginning to be told that you can't speak against things happening in the Middle East. You can't speak against people groups that identify as minorities. We thought this was going away. It's beginning to creep back in. Of course, we knew it always would on the social media platforms. And spearheading that, of course, is people who say that you can't talk about Israel because if you do, you're anti-Semitic and we from Israel will shut you down if you talk about it. So they're openly doing the very things that they're saying you can't talk about, which is a kind of intentional 1984 style operation. And again, this all comes out of this tribal mindset, right? Survival in extreme situations, whereby anything that benefits supposedly the tribe is acceptable and applicable. But the problem with that, again, that comes with a lot of downsides. Number one, we don't live in the ancient world. This is the modern world where anything that people do can be sort of broadcast and then people can begin to see the hypocrisy. So then when you have that double standard, that dual ethic, people can begin to figure that out and see that, you know, this is a PR nightmare. How are you going to convince people that you have the upper hand, you have the moral superiority when you also have a dual ethic, which allows you to pretty much do whatever you want? And that's all going to be disastrous in the long run for all the people involved. And likewise, at the same time, we have within the media sphere, while all that real stuff is going down, you have just absolute insanity. You have Candace Owens coming out with the most ridiculous nonsense with, you know, Wakanda, Sumerian technology, time traveling, all just nonsense, pure absolute nonsense. And that is a huge distraction. All of the soccer moms and the wine moms and the wine aunts throughout the country are now tuned into her soap opera, which is a week-by-week X-Files episode updated with a new conspiracy to make you forget the last one that turned into nothing. I went hard on this for the last 2 months because she was at the top of media. I don't know if she's still up there in the Joe Rogan rankings, but she was at the top of media, and it's like, wait a minute, this matters. If the top of media is beginning to push absolutely insane things, and I don't have any problem criticizing TPUSA, but the problem is that why is she so focused on certain things like that when, you know, there's other issues that almost never come up, right? I mean, a year ago, it was all about Bibi. Bibi was everything. Now it's all about, before that, it was Macron and the wife or whatever, the man or whatever. So now it's all about this. And so every week there's a new, absolutely necessary conspiracy that has to be focused on. And you've forgotten the nonsense from last week of the star witness, Mitch Snow or whatever. It just gets crazier and crazier and crazier. And now it's turned into full on coast to coast level stuff with time travelers, Sumerian technology. We watched the whole episode. People said, oh, you're taking it out of context. No, it's absolute nonsense. And again, that's all just absurd distraction from what's really going on in the world, all this insane stuff. And I tried to warn people in that sphere. I tried to say 2 years ago, when she was going in the direction of this sort of charismatic Roman Catholic position where you get these intuitions and Jesus, God speaking to you and all this kind of stuff, that's a dangerous position to be in, not because God can't do those things, but there has to be some kinds of checks and balances, because we're all very susceptible to what we call prelest, which is self-delusion, this idea that you are, whatever you feel is God talking to you at that time. It's got to be checked against, you know, some firewalls or bounced off of other people. And the Orthodox Church has that with spiritual fathers, or you bounce this stuff off. You don't get lost in these sort of delusions, because Jeremiah says our heart is very deceptive. We can be misled by our own intuitions and by our own heart. We can deceive ourselves into thinking that we're more important than we actually are. And what we see with Candace then is this idea that, well, I'm at the center of all of the world now, and the space-time continuum is all hinging upon me and my, you know, twin flame soulmate, you know, reconnecting from beyond the grave, and Charlie speaking to me out of purgatory. It's just nonsense, and it should be called out as nonsense. Because now you have millions of soccer moms who are awake in America, but it's awake to Oprah-level nonsense. It's not actually being awake to what's really going on. And people don't care about the history. They don't care about reading. I've learned this, obviously, for many, many years. So what I've tried to do is take books that nobody's ever going to read and give them bite-sized pieces of information that you can learn and verify on your own if you want to, with actual writings from the elite. Again, I think people just find it really hard to believe, even though they'll believe the most insane stuff about time traveling and Sumerian Wakanda technology. But they'll believe that, but they have a hard time believing that the elites would actually write books where they talk about what all the plans are and where they're going to take things. And, you know, you've heard me say in regard to the book, Johann Rautio's book, Milner Fabian Conspiracy, everything that's in that book is in this book. This is more of a historical account. But, for example, at the beginning of the book, Bertrand Hirsch, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, says that John Maynard Keynes, Walter Lippmann, and other Fabian socialists were the key architects of America's transition out of the older non-interventionist model and into this international socialist force for the doctrine of, you know, expanding Americanism, not in the sense of like free trade and that kind of stuff, or not in the sense of Austrian economics. they did promote free trade, but not because of Austrian economics. We're talking about Keynesianism. So we're talking about soft socialism. We're talking about fiat money printing, which was the policy of the Wilson administration due to the influence of Lord Rothschild and Colonel Edwin Mandel House. And that's admitted within the first chapter of the book. Walter Lippmann, Jean Monnet, John Maynard Keynes, Colonel Edwin Mandel House, Lord Rothschild, these were all key figures influencing the Wilson administration, particularly in the time of what's called the Inquiry, which was the intelligence superstructure before the OSS, right? So before the OSS, we did have an intelligence superstructure, particularly under the Wilson administration, known as the Inquiry, which was a bunch of academics and bankers pushing this idea of a Fabian socialist Federal Reserve-based global economic order right after World War I. And they decided that what they would have to do is use the techniques of intelligence and manipulation and subterfuge throughout the world through a bunch of operations to set up this specific Fabian socialist government, this technocracy. Now, it doesn't end up happening after World War I, but they didn't stop. And when we come back, we're going to look at the rest of this plan and how it culminates in the World Economic Forum.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. It dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this and helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I would remind you, if you would like to keep up with this kind of information, we do a lot of fun things on my website and at my YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe to Jay Dyer on YouTube, and you can sign up for my website, jaysanalysis.com, to get access to the archives and all of the information that we've been putting up there for the last 10 years. Lots and lots of interviews, lots and lots of lectures on books like Bertrand Hirsch's Old Boys, as well as many others. And if you'd like to get signed copies of my books, you can go to the shop at jaysanalysis.com. Got a whole trilogy on the history of Hollywood, propaganda, psyops, psychological warfare, Esoteric Hollywood 1, 2, and 3. The third book just came out. And also you can get my other books that are there dealing with theology, philosophy, history, etc. So we're talking about the origins of the modern intelligence agencies, the OSS and the CIA, how they come out of earlier versions that the Fabian socialist elite at the behest of Lord Rothschild and others that set up the inquiry and then tried to maneuver that into a global socialist order, even at that time. That's why we had, back at that time, even after Woodrow Wilson, you had the rise of FDR and other socialists to try to push America into some sort of a socialist order. And as we heard earlier, you know, it was the same situation with the National Socialists as well, that both of these groups, whether leftist or so-called right-wing socialism, they all kind of come out of the same problems of reacting to monopoly capital money printing. The problem is that with both of those forms of socialism, national socialism and international socialism, what happens is that you get a tendency to corporate elites and banking elites also funding and thus trying to control or successfully controlling or steering the socialist movements as well. The famous historian Oswald Spengler famously said, you can never find a socialist movement who doesn't have some monopoly capitalist at the top of it. And as you heard earlier in today's interview with Ezra Levant, he made a good point that if you look at Larry Fink or if you look at Klaus Schwab, these are supposedly mega capitalists or George Soros. But why do they push so much leftism and socialism? Well, really cunning elite monopoly capitalists tend to figure out that the best way to concentrate and transfer wealth offshore is actually through socialism, not through a kind of an Austrian economic model, right? An Austrian economic model, and I'm not saying it doesn't have its own, you know, issues or that you can't critique it, but that model is not as amenable to a corporate elite or a socialist leftist-minded billionaire as socialism would be, because socialism, it sort of lowers the bar of where people can get in the meritocracy or in terms of their own entrepreneurship. It collectivizes the wealth under the state, and it can be used by corporations. So this is what people just simply don't understand, is that corporatism or that socialism can be a technology or a tool of moneyed elites, of oligarchs, and corporations. For example, for many years, corporations have gotten huge government deals and subsidies and government welfare. Now, we critique that, right, on the right and amongst the conservatives, but this can happen at the level of the corporation as well. They can get government contracts and government welfare, which allows them to get ahead of everyone else. And that's really unfair trade. That's really gaming the system. But what you start to realize is that they all game the system. And so it's not a battle between individuals fighting the state, even though at one level it may be, right? At the small business level, you might be actually competing with Walmart or something like that, which has unfair laws and rules that favor it. So it might give the appearance, as many classical libertarian and sort of right-wing conservative commentators the last 20 years have talked about, and I'm talking about all the sort of normie ones, you know, the Mark Levins and these, you know, the Rush Limbaughs, and it's the private enterprise versus, you know, these EPA laws and this and that. That's true at one level, but at a higher level, there's a much more nefarious global problem of the corporate elite, the banking elite, structuring an international order whereby, through especially the technocracy now, social credit, DEI, all of that, they can implement a complete track and traced and enslavement system, and that's where they want to go. Now, it's becoming very unpopular, and that's what we saw with Davos this week, where Trump, Howard Lutnick, others have given these talks, these lectures, saying this whole system doesn't work. It actually has failed. And a lot of what they said was great. Pretty much everything they said was true, spot on. The problem is that if we're 20, it's almost maybe 20 years too late. I'm not trying to be blackpilled, because this is what we've got to do. This is the hand we're dealt. We got to deal with it. So we have to keep doing what we're doing, but we should have really been realizing these things 20 years ago. Of course, Alex was here talking about all that stuff more than 20 years ago. So, you know, had we listened, had we gotten more people on board, we might have been able to stave off of this collapse. But it's just so overwhelming at times, because the attack is in every domain. It's our food, it's our monetary system, it's our education system. But we have to face up to that reality, and we've got to get past the normie conservative blinders that they have, that there's no conspiracy. It's still just the ignoramuses and the idiots in Washington and the left. They're so stupid. We've got to get to the point where we admit, no, there's actually a higher tier above those people, the people who run intelligence agencies and who run the NSA and who run, you know, underground bases. You know, I'm not talking about clones and all this nonsense, but who actually run that kind of stuff, who are competent people. You know, Larry Fink is not incompetent. Okay. He's a very smart, very intelligent, cunning person. Okay. They're not dumb. And as long as we keep focusing on these people and these idiots that don't matter, the destinies or the leftists or what, all that stuff, And they are a part of the problem. They're a big army that's out there. But when we're not talking about the fact that it's not Israel or China, both of those countries pose a threat to the West and to America. In fact, Israel has had a history of taking American secrets and selling it to China. There have been books written about that. China has now made this a partnership with Canada. And Canada saying, we want to go with China for the New World Order. Well, it's not an accident that the countries under the dominion of the UK, the Queen's dominions, whether it's New Zealand or whether it's Australia or whether it's Canada or the UK, they're all moving rapidly towards Fabian socialism and then outright sort of third way communist capitalist synthesis socialism. So why is that? Well, that's because that is where we've been led. We've had American elites selling out the country, deindustrializing the country, moving all of our productivity overseas on purpose. So whether it's the Waltons and Walmart with deals with China many, many years ago, or whether it's the Rothschilds promoting the same types of attitudes and movements in America to offshore everything, and the complaint is, oh, well, but we have all of these laws that make it impossible to run a business, which is true. But that's by design so that the industry and everything will be shipped offshore to China and so that we can have slave factories and all of this. That's by design. Because there was a push for many, many, many decades amongst the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, and all the same entities nowadays and more, like Davos and the World Economic Forum, to push for a socialist world order that would denigrate and downplay America's role in the coming world order. So when you understand that, that explains a lot of Trump's motivations and actions and statements. Again, whether or not we'll actually be able to bring the jobs back to America, or whatever. I've been hearing we're going to bring the jobs back to America since I was a little kid. And all I've seen in the last 40 years is the jobs going away from America. So a lot of the rhetoric, a lot of the talk is good, but people have to understand how serious this is and how much of a disastrous situation we're actually in and not get blackpilled, which is the real challenge because people then want to give up and they want to retreat into video games or whatever. And it's fine to play video games, but the problem is that if you retreat from all of this, if you don't keep fighting this, it's going to get a lot worse. And then people fall into these other, you know, psyops like, well, accelerationism, like, why don't we just collapse the whole thing? Listen, every time that something like that happens, you get a worse situation. Okay, we don't want to move away from civilization and what we have. We don't want to collapse things. In fact, that would actually aid the global elite better to collapse things because then they would be in a position to institute UBI because of a economic, you know, collapse or whatever. So I wouldn't say that we need to go in those directions. We don't have to ever adopt, you know, vices and wickedness to try to fight evil. You can't fight evil with a bunch of evil. At the individual level, maybe there's an argument to be made for governments and assassinations or whatever in terms of warfare. I understand all that. But at least for the people, we can't fight evil with evil. But Burton Hirsch goes on to talk about how Bill Donovan, the founder of the OSS, was actually a Rockefeller attaché. He worked directly for Rockefeller and J.P. Morgan as an actual agent and representative. And together, he and other operatives were able to set up an early version of what would become the CIA through British intelligence and particularly various wealthy families like the DuPonts and others, establishing America's private intelligence apparatus. This is what we know of as the deep state. This is where it comes from. This is why we have this. And it's the model that the British elites had discovered worked better many, many, many centuries and years ago. So a royal society, a round table group of wise men and sages, something like Plato's Council of the Night, that's a better model for how to run a so-called fake democracy or an oligarchy as opposed to actually having representative government or having a king or a crown or whatever. This model seems to work better. This is the deep state secret government model. And the special operations executive of the British intelligence operatives, again, working at the behest of people like Lord Rothschild, working at the behest of British intelligence, which was not a capitalist enterprise. People think, oh, the Cold War was the capitalist versus the Soviets, the communists. Actually, British intelligence has never really been, they're not at all Austrian economists. They're not into that kind of an attitude. The earliest heads of British intelligence going back to the last century were open Fabian socialists. It is a socialist institution. They just happen to not really like Sovietism. And that's also why they didn't like national socialism, right? Because international socialism or Fabian socialism, which is socialism united with corporatism or monopoly capitalism, that's the real secret. That's what really ended up happening with the Communist Manifesto. And when I read this and you think about things like BlackRock, we're going to look at the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto in a moment. You're going to notice that, wait a minute, it's not the proletariat that's doing all of this. It's not the proletariat that is behind, you know, the Federal Reserve and money printing and all that. It's actually the corporate elite. So if you just reword the Communist Manifesto, instead of it being the workers or the state, and you realize it's the corporate state, it actually describes where we are. So you understand, no, this is a real plan, right? It's not Marx's workers. That part was wrong. But all the rest of it is actually what's happening. But to go back briefly to the origins of our deep state, which runs things, okay? This is who's actually in the media giving you sort of the fake media narratives, right? The talking heads. This is the lawyers that are out there through things like Sullivan and Cromwell sending Alan Dulles to be a liaison between, you know, Hitler's people and between the West and the Jewish banking elites. Literally, there's a whole chapter on that. I'm not saying that the Jewish banking elites were all behind Hitler. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that they had this key role. In fact, Ian Fleming, who wrote the James Bond series, was the personal aide to Bill Donovan. And so you want to wonder where, you want to know where we got our OSS and CIA. It's from James Bond. It's from Ian Fleming. He's the one that helped as the personal consultant and assistant to set it up. But what was interesting is that I said some months back when I was on with Alex that there was a key connection between Alan Dulles and Schroeder Bank and the funding of the National Socialists as an example of a controlled dialectic. And a controlled dialectic doesn't mean that everything that Hitler's complaining about is wrong, right? There was Weimar money printing. There was economic and social moral degeneracy. But it doesn't follow from that that therefore Hitler was the hero and the good guy. For example, Burton Hirsch admits that, yes, of course, Alan Dulles was aided and supported by Western money, and he did appear to support the rise of Hitler. So the earliest leaders of the OSS and CIA were not necessarily all anti-Hitler. It does appear that Bill Donovan was, but it doesn't appear that Alan Dulles was. In fact, there were people who were running a lot of organizations like Christian Socialism, and Christian Socialism was a world Fabian socialist operation that was run by members of the OSS. We saw that the National Council of Churches was run by people from British intelligence, Wim Visserhoeft. We saw, for example, that people who were running a lot of these religious organizations were also at the behest of the Rockefellers, who funded the World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches, all of which took certain stances in the World War II period by design to engineer and push Fabian socialism. So all of that is actually backed up in a book, not about Fabian socialism. It's about the history of the intelligence agencies from the Council of Foreign Relations perspective. The book goes on to talk about how I.G. Farben was a big supporter of Hitler and the National Socialists, something that we've talked about. And the Bank for International Settlements, which Quigley talks about being set up post-Bretton Woods as a clearinghouse originally for Nazi money. Now, it doesn't evolve into that. It evolves into something else than that. But originally, Schroeder Bank was a German clearinghouse for the Reich. Now, after the Reich falls, it becomes a tool of the Western elites, of course. But it's important to understand that all of this is set up not by government bureaucrats. This is not being set up and established by, who would we think? It's not being done by Hitler. It's not being done by the presidents of America. This is actually being done by banking elites and spies and academics. That's who's setting up the world order post-World War II. For example, the famous spy James Jesus Angleton was involved in not just being part of the secret team of that day, but in helping to set up some of these OSS operations in America through his contacts with the intelligence agencies in other countries. He was at the Rome desk for the CIA, for example, down the road. And he helps to organize, for example, relationships between the CIA and the Vatican. That prepares the way then for William Colby and others to run Operation Gladio, Kissinger, et cetera. And that's what ended up compromising the Vatican on record. That's why the CIA was so involved in certain papal conclaves like Paul VI's papal conclave, because they want to make sure that somebody like Paul VI would be 100% on board with the CIA. That's why Kissinger would regularly go and fly over there and meet with Paul VI to ensure that he was on board with what the CIA wanted. And what, who? The Council on Foreign Relations and the Davos elite. The same people, right, who ended up being the mentors to people like Klaus Schwab are the same mentors to Pope Francis, right? Before Leo, there was Francis, and everybody recalls the sort of disastrous pro-World Economic Forum, pro-Davos attitude that Pope Francis had. Why was that? Well, that's because the mentor to Klaus Schwab, people like Paulo Freire, who wrote Frankfurt School-style socialist pedagogy books, he was also the mentor to Pope Francis and to Heldar Camara, the bishop, one of the archbishops, liberation theology bishops from Latin South America. So that's who's really running the world. That's who's telling the Vatican what they would like and what policy should be in place for an institution that influences still a billion people. Okay, so it's not just about Israel. It's not just about China. It's about all these things. And all of these entities that we're discussing here, right? When Bill Donovan, for example, was a major figure cultivating an alliance between the Vatican and the CIA during the post-World War II period and into the Cold War, that's a double-edged sword, right? It doesn't make the CIA the good guys. It makes the CIA the ones that are telling the Vatican at Vatican II, you need to move in this direction of something like Fabian socialism. And that's exactly what the document, not just Nostra Aetate, which is about the world religions all being the same God and the same deity that's worshipped, it uses the word worship, but also Gaudium et Spes, the Vatican II document that deals with the Vatican's political position and ideology. Gaudium et Spes openly teaches open borders, chain migration, disarmament of all the Western nations. It teaches the Fabian socialist attitude on purpose. Why is that? Is it just liberal theologians? That's a very low-tier, naive take. You've got to get into the spy histories, the geopolitics books, the Brzezinskis, the Kissingers, the Burton Hirsches, because they tell you what was really going on at the higher Committee of 300, Committee of Bilderberg group, that level, right, of discussion. Spectre, what you see in James Bond, right? When Ian Fleming wrote Spectre, when you watch the movie Spectre and you see Spectre's meeting, okay, that's actually not the bad guys. That's British intelligence. That's Spectre. Cobra. That's who. Cobra is who runs G.I. Joe. It's Spectre that's meeting with Francis and Leo. Why else do you think they would be going in this more and more pro-gay marriage perspective? Why would they be having gay processions at the Vatican? What does NATO push? What does the CIA push in all these other countries? Gay rights. That's Western freedom. They've been using that as an example, as well as Gloria Steinem working with Miss Magazine to promote feminism. Again, feminism is pushed by the CIA. Trans rights, now pushed by these same agencies across the world. Why? Because it's part of an overall game plan. It's not just incompetent liberals. It's a plan. It includes many of the AIPAC Israeli people. It's not only them, though, right? You saw earlier the article of a Israeli-Chinese tech alliance for the future. And that's because we have been taken over. We have been subverted from within. As we saw earlier, in the interviews that Alex did earlier, it's not just the leftists or the socialists. We have this takeover from within, the long march through the institutions that Antonio Gramsci, the famous Marxist socialist, talked about, right? That's the same idea as a Fabian socialist. Let's get into the institutions, subvert them from within, whether it's the economy, whether it's the arts, whether it's whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, that's how we got taken over. In the naivety of Christians, the stupidity of Christians in the West, the foolishness of people believing in the establishment narratives is what led to them taking over and getting power. That we weren't, we didn't have discernment to understand that there are wicked people, and there are people who believe that they are justified in doing whatever they want. You know, leftists, they have a same dual ethic that we talked about at the beginning of this fourth hour, right? They're kind of tribal, you could say, in a way, but they also sort of eat each other like an Ouroboros. But, you know, they have a dual ethic to where they are justified in whatever they do because, well, I was oppressed, so I have a right to, you know, rape, steal, kill, plunder, whatever, because I was oppressed. So that's another version of this hypocritical dual ethic, which is ultimately destructive to the whole social order, right? Now, they don't care because they believe that they're going to institute, you know, their technocracy or their socialist paradise. And we're beginning to see the return of socialism by design. And why is that? Well, I said we would go to the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. We're going to talk about what was really going on, that Marx's plan was always a banking corporate elite plan. He was funded. Engels was funded by Engels was his funder as a wealthy stock owner. And so let's listen to this and think about it, not in the sense of the state, but in the sense of the corporate elite, the banking elite. The abolition of property and land and all rental land to the state. Oh, the corporate state. Oh, like BlackRock buying up all the single, or all the family homes. A heavy progressive graduated income tax. Oh, interesting. Which goes to what? Fund all the other countries, right? By the government bank? No, we pay that to the private Federal Reserve. So again, we're already two planks in. The abolition of inheritance. Again, all the massive taxation in this country is another way to attack that. Centralization of credit and issuance of money in the hands of a private corporate bank. Yep. Centralization of communications through the technocracy. Absolutely. The extension of factories and all control of resources under megacorp. Yep, that's happening. Basically, the rest of it is the centralization of everything, including education, and the removal of city and town into everybody being into megalopolises. All of that is the corporate plan of Marx.
I'm jacked up on the meth lane. Blue is the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it, I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something, what a blessing.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. I feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like you said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the ultimate methylene blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by methylene blue, ultra methylene blue at theologyshowstore.com.
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.